Okay, so welcome. Well, it's great to have a few new people. We've been doing a series this year on a Buddhist text called The Four Foundations of Mindfulness, which is essentially a manual, an instruction manual for different ways of doing mindfulness meditation. There isn't any religiosity in this particular text. And it has, if I counted correctly, about 53 different techniques in it. And we've been going through each week looking at a different one. Today we are on a very exciting technique called meditation on the 32 body parts. So I'm going to read that to you. I'm just going to jump in the middle. So what's happened is that this is somebody saying, this is what I heard the Buddha teaching. This is how you do this, and this is how you do that. And so this is the next section. Furthermore, just as if a sack with openings at both ends were full of various kinds of grain, wheat, rice, mung beans, kidney beans, sesame seeds, husked rice, and a man with good eyesight pouring it out were to reflect, this is wheat, this is rice, these are mung beans, these are kidney beans, these are sesame seeds, this is husked rice. In the same way, a monk reflects on this very body, from the soles of the feet on up, from the crown of the head on down, surrounded by skin and full of various kinds of unclean things. In this body, there are head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, tendons, bones, bone marrow, kidney, heart, liver, pleura, spleen, lungs, large intestines, small intestines, gorge, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, skin oil, saliva, mucus, fluid in the joints, and urine. In this way, he remains focused intently on the body in and of itself. So that is the instructions for the 32 body parts. So the first technique that we learned was following the breath, or noticing the breath. When you breathe in, you know that you're breathing in. When you breathe out, you know that you're breathing out. That was a sort of introduction to concentration. And then the next thing was breathing in. I feel myself breathing in with my whole body. So we were expanding the awareness to the whole body sensation of breathing. And that's getting more into mindfulness when you're observing the moment and everything that's happening in the moment. The next thing we did last week was the four postures. So you know if you're sitting, standing, walking, or lying down, and you notice the transitions between those. So there you're not just noticing that you have a body, but you're noticing where your body is. You're learning to be more present. And so these techniques are just taking us down step by step to be a little bit more aware, a little bit more broadly aware, a little bit more detailed. The next thing after that was awareness of actions, meaning whenever you move your body, if you're reaching, or if you're pulling, or if you're tasting, or if you're looking this way or that way, you're aware of that. So yet again, getting a little more detailed with being aware of our body. And most people, before they start meditating, aren't really that aware of their bodies. I mean, unless you're a dancer or something, we tend to spend so much more time in our minds, which usually brings us to the future or the past. So being aware of the body is a good way to ground ourselves in the present. So our passage this week takes us from noticing that we have a body and being aware of how it moves to looking at what that body is made out of. We've got even more detail. And the more detail we can see in, the more clearly we see what's going on in this moment. The more insight we get to understanding what this moment is really about, as opposed to what our stories are telling us and what our reactions and our judgments are telling us. So the more detailed we get, the more insight we start to acquire. And so this practice of looking at all of these details is a good practice for insight into this thing that we usually identify with as being ourself. You know, this body, this is me. But now we're going to look at that in a lot of detail. Now, the list that I read comes up in various places in the Buddhist writings. And the lists vary a little bit. There's in some of the other versions, it includes the brain and the earwax. Other lists have less. So it's not that there's something magical about this list, that it's the comprehensive list of what's in the body. The point of it is there's a whole lot of different parts in your body, and we want to sort of look at the fact that there's so much to this, what we think is this thing that is me. Now, when we're feeling what posture we're in, or we're feeling the breath, or we're feeling action, you know, we can actually feel that. You know, and you can sort of get inside your arm and feel what it's like to move those muscles and joints. But when you're talking about feeling the bile, you know, or feeling your hair, it's dead cells. They don't have any feeling in them. So this is more of a visualization practice than a physical sensation observation. So it's more about visualizing and contemplating the consequences of what you visualize. So I'd like to actually go through and do a little bit of guided with this, because it's, when you talk about it, it just sounds weird. Okay, we think about eyeballs, we think about the stomach. But if we actually do it, maybe it'll make a little bit more sense. So I'm going to just talk us through the 32 body parts. Actually, I'm not going to follow the list exactly. I'm going to do fewer, and I'm just going to do what I can remember. But most of us have some idea of what's inside, and so you can do this yourself, just to the extent that you know what your body is made of. So make yourself comfortable and close your eyes and imagine that you're looking at your body. Maybe you're imagining looking down at your body sitting here. And we start at the top, start with the hair. Maybe imagine yourself running your hands through your hair. And then imagine yourself taking an electric razor and shaving all your hair off. So you shave yourself bald, you shave off your beard, put your hair in a little pile in front of you. And you've got other hair on your body, so shave your arms and shave wherever you've got hair, and put all of that hair into a pile in front of you where you can see it. So now you can see your body, and you have no hair, but it's still a body, it's still you. So now we're going to move down and imagine opening your mouth and pulling out your teeth. Now in this visualization, there's no pain, so you don't have to imagine the pain of pulling your teeth out, but pull out all your teeth and put them in a little pile next to the hair. That's your teeth. And then we've got nails. So you've got toenails and fingernails. So have a look at those in your mind's eye and pop them off. Put them in a little pile next to your teeth. Now imagine you have a zipper from your chin right down to your pelvis. And you can unzip your skin. So we'll open that up. And what we notice is that there's a bunch of muscle. Actually, on top of the muscle, there's probably some fat. So scrape all the fat off of the top of the muscle and plop that in a pile in front of you, wherever you want to put it. And then we're going to pull the muscle off of your rib cage. Pull the muscles out from your arms. But remember that muscles have connective tissues, tendons and fascia and stuff. So pull all of that stuff off and make a separate pile. So now we've got a pile of hair, a pile of teeth, a pile of finger and toenails, big pile of fat, big pile of muscle, and a bit of gristle next to it. Now we can get to the rib cage, so you pull off the front of your rib cage. It's all one piece, so you can just pull that off and put it on the floor in front of you. And in fact, if you want to, you can go ahead and take out the rest of your bones. Leg bones and arm bones and feet bones. Line them all up neatly. Stack them up. You don't have to keep them all together. You know, you can let your feet bones and your hand bones get mixed up. They're just bones. Then we're going to move on to the organs. I guess the first thing you see is the lungs. So you pull the lungs out. And then you can pull out your stomach. Your stomach is going to have the esophagus, it's the esophagus? Anyway, your stomach has a thing attached to it that goes down your gullet. And you've also got your intestines, so pull all of those out together and put them in a big pile. You can add your liver, and your kidneys are back there. Your heart, now that could count as muscle, it could be an organ. You can decide which pile you put that one in. And we mustn't forget your blood, your veins and your arteries, your capillaries, your blood vessels. So pull your blood vessels out from the inside of your skin. But your blood vessels are full of blood, so you're going to have to empty that first. Now, I did a little research this afternoon, and I found that a normal body, so most of you are relatively normal, you've got between 1 and 1.5 gallons of blood in your blood vessels. So maybe imagine a milk carton, a gallon milk jug, and pour all of your blood into that. And while we're on liquids, you've got mucus. One of the translations of this passage uses the word snot. So you've got somewhere between 4.25 and 6.5 cups of mucus that you produce every day. So that's about a gallon right there, isn't it? Wait, 4 cups. 2 cups in a pint, 2 pints, it's a quart. So you've got a quart of mucus. And you've also got about the same amount of saliva. And, oh, did we remember the brain? Take your brain out of your head. And your eyeballs, don't forget your eyeballs. Your brain is floating in some spinal fluid, and you've got just about 1/2 cup, maybe 2/3 of a cup of spinal fluid. So pour that out, line it up with the other fluids. We pulled out our intestines. And of course, our intestines are not totally empty, depending on when you last went to the restroom. You've got somewhere between 1.5 and 5 pounds of poop in your intestines. So put that in another pile, maybe a little further away. You can add between 1.5 and 2.5 cups of urine. And then you've also got about 1.5 to 3 cups of bile, which is what your liver produces to help you digest your food. And that's a dark green, if you need to know what it looks like so that you can picture it. So now you have in front of you a lot of piles. You've got hair, nails, teeth, bones, fat, muscles, blood vessels, then all these containers of fluids of different colors. Oh, and don't forget your skin. There's nothing left in it, so you can let your skin fall and make a little pile of skin. And what you're looking at there, that's what your body's made out of. That's the thing. That's the stuff that we call us. So here's a little thought experiment. Look at that pile. Look at the pile of hair. And try removing the pile of hair. Just take the hair away altogether. So now you've got the teeth and the nails and the bones and the muscles and the organs and everything else, but you just don't have the hair. Now, is that pile of stuff less attractive than it was before? Or what if you replace the hair now with really deeply luxurious, long, strong hair in whatever your favorite color is, jet black or blonde or whatever. Just beautiful hair there in the corner of your pile of stuff. Does that make that pile of stuff more attractive? So you can open your eyes now. And maybe you get a little bit of an idea of how absurd it is, really, to make a judgment about bodies, about people, based on certain aspects of the body. You know, say you've got a little baby, or you're babysitting for a baby, and you're changing his diaper, and you lift him up so that you can put the new diaper underneath, and right then he poops on you and he wees on you and he gets it all over your shirt. Now, this baby has the most adorable little smile and little giggle. And you love that smile, right? And you love that giggle. Do you love the poop? Do you love the urine that's now dripping down your shirt? You may love it because you love the smile, but the poop itself is probably not something that you look forward to. Can't wait to get home and get poop all over you. And so you're sort of picking and choosing which parts of a person you love. You know, attraction is based on this arbitrary set of body parts. And it's arbitrary. It's because society has told us that hair is more important than the liver in terms of being attractive. But they're all just body parts. So this practice is showing us about attraction and aversion, which are the roots of suffering. Suffering and discontent comes from either wanting what we don't have or wanting to hang on to something we have that's going to go away, or pushing against what we don't like. The grasping and the aversion, the attraction and the repulsion is the root of what makes us unhappy. And we put so much stock in our bodies. You know, you change one little thing. What if my liver was more beautiful? You know, would people love me more? No, but if my hair is more beautiful, they do. It just doesn't really make any sense. Nor does it make sense that that pile of stuff you are imagining is me. Nor does it make sense for the stuff that you were imagining in front of you, for me to think that that's you. So for a more concrete example, some of you know my girlfriend Anna. She lives in Tucson. And she was recently diagnosed with having an ulcer. And so they're giving her some stuff to help with that. So I know that ulcers hurt, but I wanted to know more about ulcers. So I did a little research. And this is what I learned, that your stomach is lined in mucus. Now, how much mucus? We produce between 4 1/4 and 6 1/3 cups of mucus a day. Some of it's in our nose, and some of it's in our stomach, and some of it's in other places. And that mucus protects the lining of your stomach from the digestive acids that digest the food that goes into your stomach. So you've got these acids that just eat up all the stuff and turn it into mush so that you can absorb some of it and get rid of the rest. Well, if you take too many NSAIDs or you get too stressed, your mucus gets thin and the acid can start attacking the inside of your the lining of your stomach. And what it's doing is it's digesting the stomach. So an ulcer is your body digesting itself. And if you look at it, apparently, if you stick a camera down your throat, it's going to look something like those sores that you get inside your mouth, canker sores. Be white and pussy. It might start bleeding. It might eat all the way through your stomach. And that's a real problem if you get a perforation in your stomach from an ulcer. So it's sort of a gross thing, you know, it's self-cannibalistic canker sore. And Anna's got one of these. And my question to myself is, I love her eyes, I love her smile, I love holding her hand, but I'm not sure that I love her ulcer. But by doing that, by identifying Anna with her body, I pick and choose which parts of her I love. You know, if I say, I love all of you just the way you are, do I really love that ulcer? That's something to think about. Or maybe the answer is that Anna is not her body, and I am not my body. And attraction is arbitrary. So that's brings up interesting questions to think about. And you can see why this is sometimes prescribed, this technique is sometimes prescribed as an antidote to lust. Because if you imagine the person you're lusting after, and imagine their intestines, and imagine their ulcers, and imagine that dark green bile seeping out of their liver, that might dampen the lust a little bit. But it's also good just for general observation of the attraction aversion nonsense. I mean, it's not nonsense because we have to deal with it. It's hardwired into us. But you look at it carefully like this, and it really is sort of silly to judge a person based on an arbitrary subset of body parts. Now, the passage started with the analogy as if someone with a bag of grain with an opening at the top and the opening at the bottom were to sift through the grains and say, okay, this is mung bean and this is rice. And the thing about having the opening at the top and at the bottom, that was a kind of bag that was used in the Buddha's time for sowing grain. So you put all this stuff in the top, and then I guess you let it out of the bottom. And it might have just been a convenient image, or it might have been some of that Buddhist humor that comparing your body to something that you put stuff in the top and stuff comes out the bottom. But if you're doing this thing with the seeds and the grain, there's nothing, it's not like rice is more gross than wheat, or that mung beans are more attractive than something else, some other grain. It's just very detached and very objective. And this is put here at the beginning of the passage because that's how we should be looking at our bodies. You know, I talked a lot about poop and urine and bile. I don't usually spend so much time talking about poop in this group. And hopefully it wasn't offensive to anybody. But we need to be able to look at all that in an objective way, the same way that you would be deciding if this is rice or this is a bean or this is a lentil. And if you don't have that detachment when you're doing this observation, it can lead to repulsion. In fact, I have a friend, or had a friend, I've lost track of her now, but she did this practice on her own. She read about it and she did it diligently, daily, for a long time, and eventually she got just horrified by her hair, and she ended up shaving all her hair off, all her body hair, all her head hair, because she just couldn't stand how gross it was to have these dead cells hanging off of her body. Now, this is not the point of this practice. Aversion, repulsion, is just as unhelpful as the grasping attraction. So we're not doing this. I'm not talking about poop to gross you out. I'm talking about it to show that poop and blood and beautiful eyeballs are all equally just parts of the body. This is a practice that is often mentioned with laugh, with humor, you know, because, oh, now we're going to study the phlegm and the snot. I hope that, I mean, it is sort of funny to say it out loud, but I hope you can see how that taking it apart and laying it all out shows you that that's not you, and there's nothing intrinsically attractive or repulsive about this body. It's just a bag of bones and stuff. It's a whole nother question what I am, but it's clearly not this body.